Hello and welcome to Two Peas in a Pod. I'm David Tweel, and this is my partner Ishmael.
I can introduce myself, thank you very much. I'm Ishmael Poole Morshmover, or as they like to call me, IPM.
So, Morshmover, what'd you do this weekend?
Well, I went to the pesticide exhibit at the museum with my mother, and I took very inquisitive notes to be ready for this morning's broadcast. How was your weekend, David?
It was okay. I stayed at home and watched QSN with my wife, Lynn.
How is Lynn doing these days? I haven't seen her in forever.
She's doing okay. She put on some pounds. And I'm worried that she's influencing Jasper.
How old is Jasper now? I feel like just yesterday we were at his bar mitzvah singing the horror.
He's 36, but fascinated with pesticides as well.
It's about time we got to my field of expertise.
You and me both, Ish.
What makes me love these things we call pesticides is that there's such a variety with at least 10 different types.
We'd like to educate each and every one of our listeners about what pesticides truly are. Let's begin with biocides.
Okie dokie. A biocide is a specific type of pesticide that kills any biological organism. For example, you or me or any of our listeners out there. Unfortunately, biocides are no longer used considering their disastrous effect on everyone.
Well done, Smove. We'll now move forward to a couple of obvious pesticides. We have the enemy of the insect, the insecticide, Herb Williams' favorite, the herbicide, and... Wait, that reminds me of my favorite joke, Smove. What does one mushroom say to the other mushroom?
Wait, I'm a fungi. That's my all-time favorite joke, David. I'm going to start calling you by your initials, DDT. Now it's time to talk about inorganic and natural organic pesticides. Two examples of inorganic pesticides, mercury and lead. Though, they're not widely used because they cause permanent damage. Ask a smoker how they feel about natural organic pesticides, considering nicotine is one of them, along with rotenone and citronella. While most people think these plant-made pesticides are harmless, anyone who's lost a smoker because of lung cancer knows this really isn't true.
I'd now love to discuss two more pesticides, one with which is no longer really used. This is a fumigant. Fumigants are incredibly harmful to the people that work with them. The other type is a chlorinated hydrocarbon. A chlorinated hydrocarbon, or an organochlorine, is a synthetic organic insecticide that inhibit nerve membrane ion transport and block nerve signal transmission. The best example of this would be DDT. DDT was created by Paul Mueller in 1939, and he was awarded the Nobel Prize in Physiology and Medicine in 1948 for it.
The last two we'd like to discuss are organophosphates and carbamates. Organophosphates are pesticides that inhibit cholinesterase. Cholinesterase is an enzyme that is essential for removing excess neurotransmitters from synapses in the peripheral nervous system. Two examples of organophosphates are DEPP and DDVP.
Last but not least, we have carbamates or urethanes. Carbamates are extremely toxic to bees and must be used carefully to prevent damage to these beneficial organisms. Carbamates such as carbaryl disappear quickly and rarely bioaccumulate.
And now we're going to take our first commercial break.
If she had half a mind, well, she might not take this all quite so serious.
Hi, my name's Chucky Crisp, and I'm here to talk to you about tetraethylpyrophosphate. I've been working for pesticide companies for 45 years, and I've never seen such a great product. Just because TEPP reaches its intended target only 10% of the time, and a single drop on your skin can be lethal, I swear by this product. Because I'm so confident in this product, if you call in the next 12 seconds, we'll give you one drop free. Please call at 1-800-325-325. 1301.
That's what you are, Rebecca. That's what you do to me, sugar. Come on, let's go outside.
Welcome back to Two Peas in a Pod. Once again, I'm David Tweel. Just a few more things about pesticides before we move on.
Although many people think pesticides are the only way to deal with pests, there are a few better alternatives.
The first plausible option are biological controls. Biological controls control pests more cheaply and safely than synthetic chemicals. One example of this is Bacillus thuringiensis. Bacillus thuringiensis is a naturally occurring bacterium that kills the larvae of butterflies and moths, but is harmless to mammals.
My favorite alternative to pesticides is IPM, which also shares my initials. Integrated pest management is a flexible, ecologically based pest control strategy that uses a combination of techniques applied at specific times aimed at specific crops and pests. IPM requires knowledge about your crops and takes a lot of patience. I'd also like to give a shout out to my boy Delaney from the Delaney Clause.
The Delaney Clause was enacted in 1958 by the EPA. The clause prohibits addition of any known cancer-causing agents to processed foods, drugs, or cosmetics. We'll be right back with Dr. Brad Miller to discuss our next topic, El Nino.
Somos humanos, animales trabajando en lo urbano. A veces vamos a las fiestas. El brillo del resplandor nunca se apaga porque siempre aprendes. Prendes el incienso, sativo, cervata, la santería representando mi ritmo. Guay, ahora tomando el pulso de la rima, fruto de luto. Me toca a mí y ahora escupo el suelo porque sé que encontraré más terreno. Pero bajo los árboles, en sus raíces, los bichos me dicen que siempre volveré a lo mismo. Ni la peste, ni la muerte, ni los colonizadores, temblores, razones de...
Welcome back. I'm joined now by Dr. Brad Miller, a specialist on weather and climate patterns.
Hello, my name is Brad Miller. Thank you for having me. It's not easy to travel all the way from Brad Millerland, but I've always wanted to be on your show.
Now, many people are confused by the phenomenon of El Nino. What exactly does it mean, and what are its effects?
That's a very good question. I like the way you phrased it. This is my answer. Every 3 to 5 years, for reasons that we don't fully understand, the Indonesian low collapses and the mass of warm surface water surges back east across the Pacific. My theory is that the high cirrus clouds atop the cloud columns absorb enough solar radiation to cool the ocean surface and reverse trade winds and ocean surface currents so they flow eastward rather than westward. At any rate, the shift in position of the tropical depression sets off a chain of events lasting a year or more, with repercussions in weather systems across North and South America, and perhaps around the world.
Now, Dr. Miller, that's a very interesting answer. Now, what exactly does the term El Nino mean?
El Nino is Spanish for the Christ Child. It is called the Christ Child because they often occur around Christmas time.
Well, why should we care about it? What are its effects here in the United States of America?
During an El Nino year, the northern jet stream, which normally is over Canada, splits and is drawn south over the United States. This pulls moist air from the Pacific and Gulf of Mexico inland, bringing intense storms and heavy rains from California across the Midwestern states.
Now, I understand that many people believe that this year is in fact an El Nino year. However, the fact is that there's a lot of evidence that shows that it's not. But to hear more about it, tune in next week and we'll go in more detail. I now like to thank our guest, Dr. Brad Miller, from the Institute of Brad Miller.
Thank you very much for having me. This has been my dream for like 3,000 years.
We'll be right back to discuss our final topic of the day, acid rain, and we'll be rejoined by my co-host, DDT.
The weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
You've just heard about the concept of El Nino, and that's why there's no snow this year. At Ginger Ski Resort, we make our own snow. We're located just north of the border, and our lifts run from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., so call now at 1-800-238-6336.
Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Welcome back. I'm now rejoined by my co-host, David Tweel.
Thank you. It's good to be back. We'd now like to talk about our third and final topic, acid rain.
Now, David, I know I'm a little bit confused. Tell us exactly what is acid rain.
As taken from the U.S. EPA, acid rain is a broad term referring to a mixture of wet and dry deposition from the atmosphere containing higher than normal amounts of nitric and sulfuric acids. The precursors, or chemical forerunners, of acid rain formation result from both natural sources and man-made sources, primarily, in this case, emissions of sulfur dioxide and nitrogen oxides resulting from fossil fuel combustion. Now, Ismael, please tell me some of the most affected regions in the world by acid rain.
Some of the most commonly affected regions are southwestern Canada, northeastern United States, China, Norway, Central Europe, India, Sweden, and Finland. Now, DDT, many people see and understand that acid rain is occurring, but they don't know how they can help. What can they do?
See, there are numerous things that we can do. For example, at home, you're capable of turning off your lights, computers, and other appliances when you're not using them. You can also use energy-efficient appliances such as lighting, air conditioners, heaters, refrigerators, washing machines, etc. You can also only use electric appliances when you truly need them. Lastly, you can insulate your home as best as possible. Now, another category is transportation. Try and carpool as much as possible or use public transportation. Preferably, though, walk or use a bicycle whenever possible. Also, try and buy a vehicle with low nitrogen oxide emissions and properly maintain your vehicle. Use alternative fuels such as ethanol, propane, or natural gas. Avoid unnecessary idling and drive at moderate speeds.
Thank you, David. That was very insightful. Well, folks, that's all the time we have for today, so please join us next time. So, from Ismael Poole Morshmover
and David Tweel, we are
Two Peas in a Pan.
Tú me pides que te de-